This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back with me tomorrow. Coming up, the Marines have launched an investigation into the identity of a man in the famous flag-raising photograph from World War II, and the story has a Wisconsin connection. We'll find out more with a reporter covering that story. First, there have been strong major party campaigns from presidential candidates who were not previously part of their respective parties. Donald Trump apparently winning on the Republican side, Bernie Sanders exceeding expectations, still going on the Democratic side. And the most likely November matchup at this point, Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton, has a lot of people feeling unsatisfied. According to some polling, Hillary Clinton's favorability rating would be the worst in modern history for a major party presidential candidate if it weren't for Donald Trump looking even worse. There's been a strong anti-party establishment theme in both parties. The question now is, will people look outside the parties in November? Former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, a former Republican, clinched the Libertarian nomination this weekend. Many Bernie Sanders supporters say they'll write Sanders in or vote Green Party if he's not the Democratic candidate. And conservative pundit Bill Kristol tweeted this yesterday, quoting, "There will be an independent candidate, an impressive one, with a strong team and a real chance." Alexandra Reckendorf joins us now for a look at this political turmoil in the major parties. She's associate chair and instructor of political science at Virginia Commonwealth University. Alexandra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Well, before we get to the details of all these stories I was just running down there, is there some kind of big picture cause of discontent with our two major parties in this country?
I think there's this paradox in American politics today where people are frustrated with the gridlock of nothing getting done. The establishment can't accomplish anything, but conversely, we also don't want them to compromise, which is necessary to get things done most of the time. And so we feel kind of icky about both the parties that we think are being obstructionists, but also those that will not hold feet to the fire with their ideals. And so we look elsewhere at times to get a sense of political satisfaction. I can feel good that we're standing up for our principles, even if that actually means we don't get anything done. And so we're experiencing not only more polarization, but actually higher levels of perceptions of polarization, where we think the other side is more extreme than they are. We think people like us are more extreme than we actually are, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but so that gulf that we'd have to bridge ideologically seems a lot bigger than it might be, and these other candidates that talk about it a little bit more freely might then seem more appealing to somebody who wants to find somebody they can really feel good about voting for.
So anyone with government experience could be tainted for being too partisan, too obstructionist, and maybe it's the same for both people, for being for compromising, which is a dirty word too. So what's a politician to do in that situation?
I don't know. I call up Eric Cantor and ask him how that went here in Virginia, because exactly, you can be one, you can be both. And I think on the liberal side, that's one of the complaints about Hillary Clinton, is that she's, you know, secretly a moderate, no matter how hard she tries to appeal as a progressive. And so part of the support for Bernie Sanders is this idea that, well, she actually hasn't been on the right side of history in a liberal view, and she described herself as, well, I'm pragmatic, which doesn't always sell as nicely. And on the conservative side, you have Donald Trump, who in the past hasn't sounded very much like a conservative or a Republican in some respects, but Republicans have generally been unenthused about candidates in the last couple presidential election cycles. They, too, were not seen as being conservative enough, and whether or not Trump has those bona fides, he is a man who speaks very confidently of action and not just ideas. And I think maybe people want to rally around somebody who says, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. And they tend to believe him more than the politicians that are beholden to the lobbyists and get drawn towards that middle ground.
I'm going to ask you about third parties, actual third parties, in a little bit. But you, a while back, early on in this campaign, said, in a way, we have third-party candidacies going on. They just happen to be within the major parties, with people like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Are we seeing a lot of what we might usually expect from a third party, you know, front and center in these primaries?
I think more so with Bernie Sanders. He enters the race as a Democrat, even though he has not identified as a Democrat recently. And he kind of is able to sneak into the fold as kind of like this Trojan horse candidate, right? You open the gates and say, what could this hurt? And all of a sudden, you have a new idea that pushes the entire Democratic platform, as we're seeing, to the left. We know that the Democratic National Party just gave him, I think it was 5 seats of people he has picked to help write the platform on which Hillary Clinton, if she is the nominee eventually, will run on, and she's not beholden to that by any legal means, but he gets to shape the tone of that conversation in a way that he would not have been able to do from the outside, because third-party candidates are almost never invited in. There's nothing that says MSNBC, Fox, NBC, whoever's holding a debate, has to invite everybody in on the stage, and there's no reason for the two parties that currently make up American politics to invite in another voice. So I think Bernie Sanders really encapsulates this idea of like a covert agent of a third party. He sounds a lot more like individuals from the Green Party and the Justice Party on some issues than your typical more moderate Democrat.
Talking to Alexandra Reckendorf from Virginia Commonwealth University, looking at anti-establishment feeling and realities in this year's presidential race and possible alternatives to voting for the major party candidates. And let's get into that idea, Alexandra. A lot of people not happy with Donald Trump, a lot of people not happy with Hillary Clinton. Do you think, though, that that's going to translate into more people than usual looking to vote for a third-party candidate, to write somebody in, vote for some kind of independent candidacy that may or may not happen? Do people want a third or fourth or fifth alternative?
Yeah, I absolutely think we're going to see a well-run third-party campaign. Not as well-run, obviously, as the Democrats and the Republicans, but better than their typical standing. And part of that's going to draw on just this increased interest based on the fact that, as you said in the opening, both candidates have fairly high unfavorability ratings, but also because that's going to then allow those third parties to translate into perhaps increased media time, increased resources to try to build a little bit of momentum. That being said, an increased showing is not going to mean that we're going to get a third-party candidate in the White House. We have a strong two-party system, and what that means is that any system where you have a plurality of the vote, and granted the Electoral College is a bit weird, but whoever gets the plurality of the vote in each state does get the Electoral College votes. What you have is people who are very much aware that, hey, if I vote my true interest, that could play spoiler, and 2000 is still fresh enough in a lot of people's minds that they might be hesitant to actually cast that ballot. And so while I think we'll have increased excitement for the third parties and they will have a much better showing, political scientists would point to Diverger's Law and say, you know what, in a strong two-party system, it just doesn't happen. Too many people are risk-averse. They don't want the worst option, so they will eventually come on board. I think it might be a little bit trickier with the unfavorability ratings, and it'll be a little bit trickier for the Bernie Sanders supporters who really feel like the Democratic Party has been out to get him. But I think most people will fold back in or abstain.
I wanted to ask about that abstain option. Are there a lot of people who you think that will look at the choice before them and say, you know what, maybe I'll catch up on the laundry on Election Day or something like that?
You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. I hear a lot of people saying, I'm going to abstain. They don't necessarily want to go out and support the Green Party or the Libertarian Party, and whether or not that's going to change, we don't quite know yet. But they're saying, you know, I don't want to vote Hillary Clinton, but I also don't want to vote Donald Trump. But at the same time, habitual voters tend to turn out year after year. So one of the best predictors of who is going to turn out in the polls is, have you voted in the last election, the last three elections? And so a lot of the people that I'm hearing threaten to abstain are the same people who pay enough attention to politics that they have strong opinions about the race this early on. And so for some of these individuals, it'll probably end up being an empty threat. They'll come on board in some way, whether or not it's third party or one of the two major parties just, you know, holding their nose and casting their ballot to whoever they dislike the least. But for people who don't typically vote and were thinking about it, or who maybe only vote sporadically, a lot of them probably could abstain because it takes time, it takes effort. And for most people, they realize that, rationally speaking, your one individual vote isn't likely to swing the election.
We're talking to political scientist Alexandra Reckendorf from Virginia Commonwealth University, looking at an anti-establishment mood in this year's presidential race. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you looking at supporting a third party or independent candidate this year? Did you support a party outsider in the primaries, Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders, or maybe a candidate no longer in the race? Are you going to support a major party candidate? And if so, are you feeling enthusiastic about it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Alexandra Reckendorf, Associate Chair and Instructor of Political Science at Virginia Commonwealth University. We're looking at an anti-establishment mood in the presidential race and whether people will be looking outside the two-party system on voting day in November. Our guest says she thinks most people will end up with one of the two major party candidates, but it could be a bigger year than usual for some kind of outside candidacy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you unhappy with the two major parties and what looks like a November matchup of Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump? Are you looking for an alternative? What would that be? Third party? Independent challenger? Write in? Stay home? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now. Cal is on the line in Sugar Camp. Cal, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was absolutely disgusted with Trump's assessment of Senator McCain being a POW. I'd like to see Donald Trump spend a year in a tiger cage. He hasn't a clue what he's talking about. I remember when the Republicans went after Kerry years ago about his Purple Hearts, and John McCain was the only person who stood up for him. As far as I'm concerned, there's really no, if somebody can say something like that, there's no excuse for voting for him. And he's in the single digits with PolitiFact, I believe, or PolitiCheck, and Clinton's in 50%. There's just no choice there. And then
Cal,
if I was going for an independent candidate, that would just make a mess of the two that are going to be running against each other.
Cal, thanks a lot for the call. So, Alexandra, a lot of people at various times through this campaign said, oh, Donald Trump said or did, fill in the blank here, including this, the McCain comments, he's done now. Well, he's still here. He's not done. What is it about Donald Trump that breaks all the rules, that lets him get through things that would be pure poison for any traditional candidate?
Yeah. We keep waiting for that other shoe to drop, and Donald Trump has been able to skirt those kinds of issues, and it's been a really interesting thing to watch, I think, for political scientists and just voters alike. And I think it can boil down to a couple different things. The first is who turns out to vote in a primary. So primaries have much lower turnout than already low turnout rates in general elections. And the people who get organized enough and mobilized enough to show up tend to be people who match up more with the more ideological extreme side of both parties. So you don't have a typical Republican voter necessarily voting in the Republican primaries at this stage. And so we might see a difference in how the Republican Party as a whole tries to get him to change his tune. Of course, it's interesting to see she brought up John McCain, and John McCain supports Donald Trump despite everything that he said. So I think that just goes to show you how important the parties understand this is in a two-party system, that if you don't back him, that throws the election potentially to the other side if you can't unify. But why does it work for Donald Trump? I think a lot of it has to do with he understands that people are emotional creatures. And in politics, certainly emotions mean as much, if not more, than logic. And that's on both sides. And it's just because as humans, that's what drives us. And so not only does Donald Trump emote as he speaks a lot of the feelings that voters on the political right might be feeling, but it legitimizes them too. Things that they might say and get told, no, you can't say that, suddenly are perfectly acceptable, and he's winning with them. And so it kind of, for Donald Trump, is fine. It plays into this, hey, you know, I'm not going to allow the PC police to tell me what I can do. And I think that emboldens him and allows him to carry on in ways where people might say, you know what, I don't like what he's saying, but by doggone it, I'm going to allow him to say it because I want to say something unpopular sometimes too. And you don't really have that with mainstream politicians.
Kyle, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Looking at anti-establishment sentiment among voters, a lot of outsider candidates doing well in this race, people looking at third parties, if there's a Trump-Clinton general election this year. Go back to our callers now with John in Mason. John, hi.
Hi. I'm voting for Bernie Sanders in November, whether he's the nominee for the Democratic Party or not. I know other people are going to write him in, and I hope that everyone who supports him writes him in, and I can't see him losing if they do. What I wish is that in the primary election, that they would allow everyone to vote, no matter what they are, independent, Democrat, Republican. It shouldn't matter. Everybody should have be heard, because by not letting everyone be heard, it's not a fair early election.
Gotcha, John. Thanks for the call. Alexandra, first of all, we've talked about that a little. You seem to be saying earlier that a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters would probably come back to Hillary Clinton, though, as John says, certainly not all of them.
Yeah, and he used a word that I'm here looking at just a few scribbles I had made before getting on the phone with you, and one of them was fairness. So I think both sides, Republican Party and Democrat Party, especially Bernie Sanders supporters, feel a growing sense of unfairness with the system and also just certain aspects of their day-to-day life. And so this idea that the party system is unfair, it's going to be a major hurdle for Hillary Clinton, if she does become the nominee, to have to jump over, because Bernie Sanders said the other day, you know, it's her responsibility to get his supporters on board. He's not going to step in the way, but I think if you asked Hillary Clinton, she'd say, well, you've already kind of done that, Bernie. Because of some of the rhetoric about the unfairness of the system. What I think is missing in the conversation is a little bit more understanding and nuance of how parties operate, whether we like it or not. They're protected by the First Amendment, and so for the most part, they have a lot of freedom and who they allow in and out of their party and to participate in their elections. And the candidates know this getting into it, and different states, because we have a federalist system of government, do things in different ways. I used to live in a state where you had to be in a party to vote in the primary, and now I'm living in a state where I can be an independent and choose between the two. But that's a state-by-state thing, just as caucus or primary is. And some of the rhetoric about the unfairness in recent weeks, I think, has added some extra challenges for Hillary Clinton, who is probably looking at the scenario and saying, wait a second, you didn't like superdelegates a month ago, but now you're okay with them if it works for you. And you don't think it's Democratic here, but you do think it's Democratic when it's only, you know, a few thousand people voting in a caucus. And that's just a disconnect because, again, our emotions sometimes allow us to interpret the same set of facts differently, and that's not in any way a slam on Bernie Sanders or his supporters. But whether we like it or not, states and the parties have a lot more freedom than perhaps we as citizens would like them to.
Alexander, very briefly, as we wrap up, no matter what people think of this election, it's going to make your political science classes a lot more fun for the next couple of years, I bet.
That it is.
All right. Well, thank you, Alexandra, so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Alexandra Reckendorf. She's associate chair and instructor of political science at Virginia Commonwealth University. We've been talking about anti-establishment feelings in this year's presidential campaign. A lot of talk, a lot of anti-establishment feeling within the parties and on the outside. And there's still time for you to share your thoughts. You can head over to the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know. Are you going to stand by your party's candidate no matter who it is? Are you looking for outside alternatives, staying home, maybe starting to check out third parties, or are you hoping for an independent run? There's been some talk about that over the weekend. Again, share your thoughts. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or just post on the Central Time Facebook page.